Very much, and I appreciate the fact that you are here today as well. We're going to be in Revelations, the second chapter, and I said Revelation, but it is Revelation. It's only one Revelation, and I'll talk a little bit about that, but we're going to be in the second chapter to the end of the third chapter. The word Revelation means an unveiling, and there is just a relative factor of the book of Revelation. It is revealing something about Christ. And the title of the message is Communion and the Church. And we need to understand that Christ, in the passages that we're reading, is in the church. He's wanting fellowship, desiring fellowship within the church. A couple things that I want to point out before we begin to read today, and we're just going to focus on the scriptures today with not a lot of fanfare. We need to remember that Jesus Christ is the light, right? He is the light that we bring forth. The churches are pictured as candlesticks. Candlesticks can lose their ability to hold the light, but the light itself never changes, does it? It is still always light. We have to make sure that we always keep Jesus Christ at the forefront. Another thing about this as well, that Christ is in the midst of every one of them. So regardless of their circumstance, their situation, the Lord Jesus Christ is right there with them. Some were being persecuted. Some were suffering because they were doing wrong. Others were sort of in between those type of situations. But nonetheless, Christ was in the midst. So to us today, as we read this, I want to think about where we fit in the picture, individually and as a church as well, as individuals and as a church as well. And know this, he had something personally to say to each and every one of these churches. Now, he has something personally to say to this church. He has something personally to say to each and every one of the members that are here today and our guest. So, let's read. And let's think about what the Word of God is saying. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, I know your labor, your patience, and you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this is you have hated the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God." Now to the persecuted church, he says this, "And to the angel of the church of Smyrna, write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blaspheming of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." To the compromising church and to the angel of the church of Pergamos, write, "These things who says, who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know your works and where you dwell and where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith even in the days of Antipas, when was my faithful martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idol, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus, you also have those which hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it. To the corrupt church, to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. As for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality, to eat sacrifice to idols, and I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and to those who commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now you, I say, and do the rest of Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed into pieces like potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the dead church, and to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, now that you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who are not defiled with the garment, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to the faithful church. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. I indeed will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you because you have kept my commands to preserve. I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Finally, the lukewarm church. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, we have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I've counseled you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous, repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. I also overcome and sit with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May God bless the reading, the hearing of his word today. I'm going to step down here and just say a few things as we go into invitation time. God speaks through his words. Whatever situation you are in right now, he's right there. Some of us are faithful. Some of us right now are faithless. Some of us are going through persecution. Some of us are not going through anything bad at all because we really don't want to take a stand. We as his people need to take a stand. We need to be his church. And so we're going to have the guys come up and sing. And I'm going to ask you to stand. And as they're singing, you contemplate where you're at right now. Christ is right there with you. What would he personally be saying to you right now? He is speaking to you. I'm sure that he spoke through you some way, somehow, very profoundly through what we read, what we shared today. After they're through singing, we're going to have a word of prayer.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Clothed in rainbows of
Amen. Let's all take a seat and bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Regardless of your situation, I want you to know that Jesus is there. And nothing will ever change that. What I'm going to ask you to do in this prayer time is contemplate your relationship with Him. What is He saying to you right now? For some of you, maybe He's speaking to your heart in such a way, He's saying, look, you did love me, but you've walked away. There's things that have taken precedence in your life above me. And the thing about God is God just wants to be first in your life. In fact, Jesus said to seek the kingdom of God first, and then all the other things will be added to you. Right now, seek Him. Turn toward Him. In your personal, private time, right here in this sanctuary, just say, God, I'm sorry. I want to put you first. Nothing else matters. Just you. Maybe there's some here today that you've gotten away from God, not because you've left your first love, but in a sense, there's other things that have taken precedence, and you know, you've gotten maybe a little sideways with coming to church and being involved in God's kingdom. There's things that matter more. It sounds a little bit like a first love thing, but maybe a little deeper, maybe not as deep as that. Right now, ask God to forgive you. Ask Him to forgive you. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, again, as we come before Your throne, we realize we couldn't come before Your throne unless You allow us. You loved us. You cared for us, provided for us a way to do that. Father, we openly confess before You and before others that there's things that we love more than You. That doesn't make for a good relationship with You. Doesn't make for a good relationship as a church family. Father, we openly confess right now that the things that shouldn't matter are the things that have mattered. We've counted position, prestige. We've counted just appearance as being the things that the world finds valuable, and we find those things valuable. But right now, we openly confess, Father, that You look in the heart. You can sense and You can see where our longings are. And Lord, we want to long for You. We want to follow You. We want the things that matter to You to matter to us. So we repent and we turn toward You of those things that are not so good. Father, I know that even in this congregation, there are those that are going through tumultuous times, personal anguish, some through death, some through marriage problems, some that are going through difficulty because of children. And Lord, we openly confess right now that You're bigger than those things. You're above those things. There's nothing in our life that seemingly is against us, that is hurting us, that is bigger than You. Nothing's impossible with You. You're the God in the good. You're the God in the bad. You're the God in the indifferent. And we openly confess that we're not going to allow those situations to run our relationship with you and with others. Father, I pray for a service here in this communion time that we have left that is a true communion with you. And I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. We are going to ask our deacons to come. And we're going to take our communion service. There's always the question that is brought about communion. And some of those questions would be, do we have an open or a closed communion? And I say yes. See, our communion is open to those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's open that way. And if you follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, it is open. But listen, if right now you can't say that you have a relationship with God, then I want you to talk to myself after the service. Don't partake. That's okay. Don't partake. Talk to me after the service, and we can talk about what that looks like. But don't do this unless you have that good, right, born-again relationship with God, because this is just a symbol. I have my ring on today. It's a symbol of my relationship with my wife for 35 years, coming November 15th. It's a symbol of that. But it removed doesn't make me any less than married. And there was somebody's text or voicemail. It wasn't mine. I made sure I turned mine off. So if you don't have that relationship with God, are you not really sure about it, I want you to know you can make sure about it today by seeing myself or seeing one of the other members of this church after the service, and we can talk to you about what that looks like. So we're going to ask our folks to stand as we read this today. The Apostle Paul writes these words, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is in the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" You may be seated, and we're asked our deacons to come forward at this time to give this out. I'm sorry. often like to talk a little bit about the setting that this occurred in. And because we are in a congregation with several hundred people, there's certain things that we can't do just because of the setting. But that first Lord's Supper was a very intimate moment. And I think this has been very intimate here, by the way. But they were actually lying down. That's the way they ate in those days. And they ate in groups of three. And they were sharing things one to the other. That's why one group would sort of hear something and then sort of wonder what the other group was saying. And it was just a different type of feel, probably, than what we can hope to accomplish in a group this large. But, you know, out of that, just that common meal, some very significant things came out. He took the bread, and, you know, they'd been eating the bread, but he broke it again. And he said, this is symbolizing my body. In just a few short hours, he was going to be broken, physically broken, and in front of really, literally their very eyes. And symbolizing that, you know, my body's broken for you. Because sin does need to be punished. So every little lie that you've ever told, every big whopper you've ever told, everything that you've ever stolen or thought about stealing, or you've looked at somebody else's house and said, boy, I wish I had that house. I wish I drove their car. You know, I wish I made their money, or whatever the case may be. He was broken for that. It had to be punished. Because it's not about my standard. My standard is no good. It's certainly not about your standard. It's his standard. Our standard is filthy rags. His standard is perfection. And him knowing that we could never obtain that standard made a way for us to be made the righteousness of God. So as you take the bread today, I'm going to ask you to repeat the words on the screen after I finish mine, and we'll take this together. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We have before us the cup, and it symbolizes his blood as he was in this very intimate setting with his apostles, his disciples. He said, you know, this represents something. This represents my blood. And this is what I personally know about blood. It is one of the greatest evaluation of one's health, isn't it? I mean, you can find out just about anything that you need to know about your physical well-being through your blood, whether it's good, bad, or sort of in between. In fact, there are indicators in your blood that says that there could be future trouble ahead for you. That's why they do preventative things. Well, from a spiritual sense, there is something dreadfully wrong with our blood. It is sinful. It's how we see sin passed on. We inherit it from our mother, our father. They inherit it from their mother and father and so on down the line. And so as we look at the cup, we realize that there was something intrinsically, terribly wrong with us. But the perfect blood, the blood without sin, was offered up for us. I always appreciated in the movie The Passion of the Christ as they were trying to take care of the blood that had been shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the comments in Aramaic was to don't miss a drop of it. Don't miss anything with it, I think is what they said in the movie. And there's an importance to that, because there wasn't a drop of it that was wasted. It was shed for you and me. So we know that we have the cup before us, and this symbolizes that not only our sins have been punished by him, he received our punishment for our sin, but there's forgiveness, because there has to be something that goes over and beyond. You know, criminals go to jail and they receive their just rewards for going to jail, but there still has to be restitution made. In a sense, this is our restitution that has been made for us. So the Bible says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now we know in the scriptures, it says in Mark, the 14th chapter, verse 26, that afterward they had sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. So let's all stand today. The conclusion of this meal, this time together, this very intimate time together, they had a song. And we've read about the seven different churches in Revelation. Let us purpose in our heart to be faithful people. And you know what? If we're going to be faithful people, you know what we're going to have? We have a faithful church. Those things go hand in hand together. So let's sing. Let's proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only what he has done, but also what he is going to do. Brother Jeff.
Of course, we all know it.
Then sings my soul. Amen. A couple things to share with you before we dismiss. Today we're going to be receiving a benevolence offering. This is a way that our deacons are able to help those within the church that may be in a financial bind, a difficult bind. So if you can contribute to that, there'll be ushers stationed as you're at the exit points today, the egress points today, for you to be able to participate with that. Also, there are some announcements in the bulletin about the service change time that are going to take place. We're going to move the evening service in several weeks to 5:30, and some other things in there as well that are mentioned. Jeff, was there anything else that I needed to share? All right. Yeah? All right. Well, if you don't know anything, then we're good. So tonight we're going to be bringing a message on encouragement. And let me be an encourager to you. Be here to be encouraged. Right? Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we might ask or think, to him be the glory in his church through Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Go in peace.